All right, let's get started.
Yep. Welcome to Movie Podcast. That's right, Movie Podcast. The chain remains unbroken, and we got like to see Lawrence Fishburne's Event Horizon, Paul W.S. Anderson's masterpiece.
Credited in this movie as Paul Anderson.
Just Paul, regular-ass Paul R. Anderson. Before we started smelling his own farts.
I'm going to bury the lead a little bit. What happened to him? Because, like, this movie, whether you like it or not, this movie is far more confident than anything else that he ever made. Like, what happened?
Didn't he make Starship Troopers?
No, that's Paul Verhoeven.
I wish.
Wrong Paul.
No,
Mila Jovovich pussy got him fucked up.
He made all the Resident Evil movies, and he also made the first Mortal Kombat movie, which Mortal Kombat's fun. And Sean,
the first Resident Evil's not bad.
I was talking to Gogs. Sean, didn't he make, am I wrong, didn't he make Soldier that we watched on the show? Wasn't that also him? The Kurt Russell movie?
I think so.
I think he did.
That might be his first movie? That movie which, fucking rules.
Which we like. Yeah, that was good. Anyway, we watched Event Horizon, a movie I swore that I saw, but as I watched it with Gogs, I'm like, I don't think I ever watched this movie.
That's crazy. I've seen this movie like a dozen times, I think.
I think I've just seen so many clips from this movie, I thought I had seen it. But no, I had never seen this film.
Well, the whole movie's kind of clips, but we'll get into that.
Shout out to Clips, by the way, and the new album.
Oh, yeah.
That shit goes hard.
Yellow diamonds look like pee-pee.
But yeah, we watched Event Horizon.
So Soldier, he directed that right after this. 99.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
As
Paul Anderson. He was Paul Anderson for Soldier and Event Horizon and Mortal Kombat.
Before this or after?
Mortal Kombat was 95. Event Horizon 97, Soldier 98. He becomes Paul W.S. Anderson in 2000 with The Sight. And then from there on out, then he's got Resident Evil, Alien vs. Predator.
When does Boogie Nights come out? Because maybe that's what inspired the middle initials.
I think also 95. I could be wrong. 95, 96, maybe?
You know what I mean? And then it's like he blew up. And then I'm Paul Thomas Anderson. He's like, well, I'm just going to have an extra initial. Like
Boogie Nights was 97. So same year as this movie.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's get into it. What did y'all watch this week? Alec, you weren't here last week. Start with you. Did you watch Higher Learning?
I did not.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. It was a movie.
So I watched six things.
Six things. Hell yeah.
I'm going to glaze over a few of them. So a few weeks or months, I don't know how long, time doesn't mean anything anymore. At some point, I talked about a movie called Lone Star Shark.
Yes.
Which is like an hour-long Zumo original.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember you bringing up Zumo. I didn't even know what it was.
They made two more. They both came out on July 1st.
Wow.
Lone Star Shark 2 and Lone Star Shark 3. They're both like an hour and 5 minutes long. Basically, this company controls a shark. They let it loose in a lake, a freshwater lake, where they send people kayaking, and then they bet on if they're going to live or not and watch via video. It's awful. But they're an hour long, and they're really fun to laugh at how bad they are.
I just think it's funny they stretched that out to three films.
Sounds like something the Rumble would bet on from the money plane.
And they... the biggest kick I got out of the whole thing is the production company is B22 Films.
Oh, like eight. Yeah, that's good.
Really rip it off, A24.
Love that.
Watched Birdemic.
Oh, God.
Which is another, it's terrible, but it's a nice short movie.
That's a classic, awful, like, good, bad movie. Everybody always talks about Birdemic.
It's kind of like the sexy sister film to The Room. It's more of the people's bad movie.
Yeah.
Alec, I've never heard of that movie.
Birdemic Shock and Terror? Alec, was your favorite part of the movie when they ask where his girlfriend is and he goes, I don't know, I think she's taking a shit?
Yes. That was my favorite part. And then they just pan over to her and she's dead.
How did you feel about them driving in real time for the first like 8 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, I was like, what is happening here? Like, did they forget to actually like film anything? But no, it's like him driving for like 10 minutes to like a job interview, if I remember correctly, or something.
Some kind of green energy solar? I don't, that movie is fucking wild.
It is. And then he meets a supermodel who is like getting her pictures taken like in a seedy hotel, but not in a room, like in a hallway, it looks like.
But it's like not even lingerie. They're like in swimsuits for some reason.
Yeah, like full bathing. Like, yeah. It's something else. I can't recommend it enough. I think it's really short, too. I can't really remember.
Don't watch the sequel. It's another one of those movies. I don't know if you know I know a lot about this because it's another one of those. The production's almost more interesting than the movie itself. But he wasn't aware that it was funny. But then everybody, it's like Tommy Wiseau, everybody like thought the movie was funny as shit. So he tried to make like a bad movie on purpose, and it's not nearly as interesting.
Not as good. Yeah, I always hate that.
Hanging out with my family, having ourselves a party. We gotta watch that movie sometime. We'll never get to it though, because nobody's in it.
Nobody's in it. Yeah,
it's unreachable.
That'll have to be a birthday pick.
We watched Miami Connection.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, man.
Like, I'd never seen it. Stacy found it. Like, somebody was talking about it on, like, a TikTok about, like, good, bad movies. And that movie is something else.
Sean, your best friends have talked about that movie many times on this show.
It sounded familiar. Like, some of the shit sounded familiar as we were watching it, but I couldn't place it. And I was like, did we watch that on the show? And then I looked back. I was like, no, we definitely didn't watch it. I guess it must have been you guys talking about it.
Bro, when he gets the letter from his dad, that's Maurice Smith, by the way, former UFC heavyweight champion prior to being famous. That shit is so good.
Yeah, it's wild. I thought you were Arpon. Oh my god, it's so good. Like,
that guy also wrote and directed the movie, by the way.
Isn't that
they're in a band and they're fighting a group of motorcycle ninjas. Who are also fighting a drug dealer, maybe. Like, it's fucking wild. The whole thing is wild.
The fucking soundtrack slaps too, by the way.
Oh yeah. Friends Forever Fight. I can't remember the song, but they're so ridiculous. And the songs that they sing like in the band, the group, they're almost like telling the story as it's going on.
Oh yeah.
It's insane. But it's definitely worth a watch.
Please tell me the next movie you watched is New York Ninja or Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
New York Ninja is amazing. You need to watch New York Ninja, Alec. It's incredible. It's on the Plex. It's amazing. New York Ninja is a movie where which company is it, Sean? Vinegar Syndrome? I don't know. Someone, one of the like boutique, like Blu-ray DVD houses that put out like kind of lost movies. They literally found New York Ninja, like it was in the trash, and then they pieced it together and they made it into a movie and they like dubbed it over. It's fucking hilarious. Like, it's so good. It is
Vinegar Syndrome. And Alec, they didn't have the script or like storyboards or anything. They just watched all this disparate footage and put a movie together out of it.
And it's wild.
It's so fun.
That's like the reverse of Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It's really good. I love it. Like, I think that year came out, I think it ended up in my top 10 because I liked it so much.
It's like, got a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like Citizen Kane level.
It's so good.
I have one tabled movie. The last thing before the tabled movie is a movie called, it's a Lifetime original, I think. Or it can't be Lifetime. It was. I forget what it was on. I think we watched it on Tubi. Called Get Off My Lawn, and it's about this couple that buy a house from and not like a family whose grandfather died, but the kid from the family is obsessed with the house, and he gets progressively crazier and crazier about like them changing things and making changes to the house and like decorating differently, and he keeps like breaking in and like resetting the house to the way it was, like the old furniture and stuff. and like things just escalate more and more to the point where he decides he's going to murder them because he can't deal with them changing the house. But it's all really stupid and really funny.
Sounds amazing.
Nobody of any note is in it except for the male lead. Not that it's of any note. He's the brother of Tia and Tamara Mowry.
Nice.
Yeah. Like in canon or like?
No, like, well, like IRL.
Oh.
His name is Taj Mowry. Not that that's a
brother.
Not that that's of any note, because I don't know that he did anything else besides this movie, nepotism, like 25 years later.
Right, right.
Is it intentionally funny or is it funny?
I think it is. To be funny? It like it leans into some of the stupidity really well. Like it knows it's a terrible movie and it like definitely leans into it.
Honestly, the premise isn't terrible. Like you could turn that into like a pretty decent horror movie. Like it's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And there's some parts where it's like, yeesh, it's a little,
yeah,
a little like gory and kind of creepy. Not like to the point where you're ever like skeeved out, but it's like, yeah, that's kind of creepy. That's kind of weird. Why is this kid such a psychopath?
Yeah.
The last thing I watched is Tabled, because TJ watched it. I don't know if anybody else did.
Dogs did too.
Nice.
Are you talking about Fantastic Four? Yeah,
Fantastic Four.
Man, that's my favorite part of the movie. Fantastic Four.
I saw a TikTok where I don't know what theater, it's probably Alamo Draft House or something. But anybody that bought the Galactus popcorn head and walked by, $80. They had like, yeah, but they had like a small group of like 8 or 9 singers, like,
oh, no shit,
sing the Fantastic Four thing to them every time they walked by.
All right, I you know, that might have gotten me to pop $80 for it. Me and Goggs and Goggs' son, we all watched it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I think, like I said it in Analog, but I think that this is the summer of comic book movies that get it. Like I felt like this felt like it got the material so well. And it also, for me, like, again, it takes place in like an alternate universe, like 1960s. So like it felt, it didn't have like a lot of the usual Marvel luggage because it felt like a self-contained movie. And yeah. I thought that did wonders for the film. But I mean, I loved it. I thought that they did all the characters perfectly. I thought that the Galactus stuff was like exactly what I wanted. And Goggs has made this point, and I totally agree. Like the end of the movie, like they kind of have to think their way out of it, which is like refreshing because that is what the Fantastic Four does. And I really, really liked it a lot. Like I thought it was like pitch perfect. Like I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's as good as Superman, but I thought it was great. It's the best thing Marvel's done in years. Like I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought everybody was really good at it. Like you said, they nailed the characters.
They got all the characters perfectly. Let me ask you a question though, Alec. Because I'm still on the fence about it, and I get why they did it, but I still wasn't over the moon with the Thing's voice. Like, I still think it should have been like rougher, and like I don't know. I always picture his voice as being more like, pun intended, gravelly. Like
I kind of liked it. I liked it that he still had like that. Like his voice didn't change. It was still the one thing that he had from before he became a huge rock monster.
It definitely like humanizes him a lot more. Yeah. But I thought he was perfect, and I thought like he looked great. Like we've watched all of the Fantastic Four movies, but
have we? I know we watched the.
We didn't watch Rise. We didn't watch Rise of the Silver Surfer. I think we watched
I thought all we watched was Fan4Stic.
I thought that was the only one we watched.
We didn't watch the Alba Fantastic Four. I could have sworn we did. Well, maybe we just talked about it.
I think we saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah. It was, I mean, those movies are so bad. And like the Fan4Stic was awful. And again, like we've talked about this.
That's not even like a movie. That's like, yeah. It's so bad.
We've talked about this 1,000 times, but like, those three movies in particular, like they tried to make it more like gritty and grounded, and it's like that doesn't work. Like the Fantastic,
I know
the first one, I don't think they did with the first one. I didn't feel like it was more gritty and graphic. I feel like it was more like too goofy.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I know the Trank one, definitely. That Trank one is like a Zack Snyder Fantastic Four.
We've like pontificated on this forever, but and I know I think we all had the same consensus that like a Fantastic Four movie only works if the characters are older, and they seem like a little bit older than usual. Do you think that helps in the movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, I mean, you know, I'm a huge Fantastic Four fan, but like the thing about the Fantastic Four is they're the first family of Marvel. And to do that correctly, Reed and Sue need to be a little bit older than Johnny and Ben Ben's the same age as Reed, but like they need to feel more like lived in. And I felt like this movie did a great job with the world building. Like, again, the movie starts and it gives you their origin, like in like a TV, like they're on like a TV show, and the TV show in like 5 seconds tells you the origin. It's like, there you go. That's all you got to do.
Do you think we're done with origin movies for established characters at this point? Like, you think they've learned that lesson?
I hope so. But I between this and Superman, though, it was so nice to see a movie that's not ashamed to be. I mean, the movie is kind of silly and it's very like sci-fi, which was great because Fantastic Four is very science fiction. Like, I don't know. I thought it was really good. They did a nice little tribute to Jack Kirby in the credits. And I think I could be wrong. Alec, you can chime in on this. There's a part in the movie where they show this guy at a comic book, like at a drawing table. And then he's like, wow, look at that. And I think it's when he's looking at Galactus. And then they show his office and it's a bunch of Jack Kirby drawings. I think Jack Kirby is actually in the movie, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw some like TikTok stuff, people who like have seen it multiple times. And apparently it's Kirby and Stan Lee like in that office.
Yeah, that's supposed cool. to be, and I guess Timely Comics, like the predecessor to Marvel.
And if you look closely, there's a picture of like Uatu the Watcher on the wall.
But yeah, I thought it was great.
I thought it was excellent. I loved it. Stacy loved it. We both thought it was a lot of fun. It was nice and light, and like you said, it didn't bring 30 movies worth of history with it. You could just watch this one for what it was. Yeah. A couple of minor quibbles. With the baby, it looked terrible.
Really? I didn't really
like
notice.
Some of the points, the CGI with the baby, I was like, why didn't they just CGI an actual baby into the picture? Because there are a few points I was like, what the fuck is that thing? It's not as bad as that Twilight baby.
You're right.
From the Twilight movie.
Or the baby in American Sniper. And when he takes out the doll
that just falls apart. Well, it wasn't as bad as that, but a few times it was just like kind of like, yeah, that just, for how good everything else looked. And it might just be the fact, like, you remember in Endgame, how bad the Mark Ruffalo looked at the end?
Yeah.
And you're just like, the whole movie, like, everything looked fucking great. Then you see that, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, you spent all this time and money polishing everything, and then you leave that in.
There's a weird thing going on with like VFX in general, where it's like they should look a lot better than they do in a lot of cases, and it's the same thing as always. Like, they're rushing a lot of these movies; they don't pay the animators and stuff enough, and I don't know. It's a whole thing. Overall, though, I thought the VFX were pretty good.
I thought they were excellent. Galactus stuff, fucking tremendous.
He looked great.
I loved the Mole Man stuff.
Dude, the Mole Man, that was, I mean, I popped huge when Mole Man showed up. Also, I'm sure you caught this, but they recreated the first Fantastic Four cover in the very beginning of the movie with that, like, subterranean monster coming out of the street.
Yeah.
I was like, that was awesome. But, like, the guy that plays Mole Man, Sean, you will know him as the guy that gets his lines stolen by Jamie Taco, and I Think You Should Leave. It's that actor.
Paul Hauser, I think.
And he was also the Juggalo in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia
Heidi actually knows him personally.
Oh, really?
They were like counselors. They went to the same summer camp in Saginaw. They're from the same town.
That's cool. But anyway, Gogs, what did you think of the movie?
I mean, I loved it. I'm not like, I don't know the most about the Fantastic Four, but from what I know, it felt very genuine to all the characters. I loved, I think, kind of like how Mr. Terrific kind of stole the show for me in Superman. I feel like the Thing sort of did it for me in this, because I really just liked how they, and maybe this is always the Thing's bit, but they juxtaposed like the toughest guy with like the softest, most human side of all of them.
Agreed.
I loved the way that they were able to, because I was really happy about this, because like, I know it's central to the character, but it was kind of hard to explain to a 10-year-old. I was like, so explain to Vance. I'm like, so Reed Richards is like one of the smartest guys in the world. If he's not the smartest, is he the smartest in the Marvel universe?
In the comics, yeah, he's the smartest guy in the world.
So I'm like, he can do all this stuff. He's smarter than everybody. It's like, but his foil is that he's so smart that he doesn't think about how it affects people. And he's kind of like emotion, like he has no emotional intelligence. He's kind of blind to that. And it gets in his own way. And I thought that the movie did a really good job sort of showing that. I thought Vanessa Kirby was great. I loved that Johnny Storm wasn't just like a surfer bro tag along. Like, he was like very useful and like portrayed as incredibly like smart and competent. And
yeah, they kind of cribbed the, I mean, like with all Marvel properties, like there's 8,000 iterations of the Fantastic Four, but a lot of this was cribbed from the Jonathan Hickman run, because they start the Future Foundation in this, which is right from the Hickman run. And like a little bit from Ultimate Fantastic Four, where they're all scientists. Like Sue's a scientist. Johnny is, to a lesser extent, a scientist. Like,
If you go back to the original Fantastic Four, it makes no fucking sense why Sue and Johnny would be there.
Oh, right.
It's girlfriend and his girlfriend's brother. And like, yeah, I'm just going to bring you to space.
Yeah, why not?
I'm trying to steal this spaceship.
And it takes place in the 60s, or is it meant to be vague?
I think it's Earth 828. So yeah, maybe it's
I think it's meant it's to be like modern times, but it
oh
like the 60s motif has
like they oh, have like they have like tech that eclipses our current tech.
Oh, it's see, just I
60s I, vibed.
I guess they never really say it, but I just assumed it took place in the 60s, and like all the technology that they have is because of Reed, because it's all like retro futurism kind of stuff, which also looks great.
A lot of like orbital, like orb shaped TVs and monitors, which was cool. Everything's rounded.
Also,
everything is Kirby was a blast.
Kirby's awesome.
Something that Goggs pointed out that I didn't even realize until we watched another movie later that night. They didn't open with the usual Marvel, you know, the Marvel thing where they show the Marvel logo and they show all the characters from the comics in the logo. They didn't do that. They did this like 60s like Marvel title card. I was like,
yeah, it looked like it was like, let's all go to the movies.
Yeah, it was
like that kind of.
I loved so much of this movie. Like it makes me frustrated, because it's like, this is what I hope this movie is like very, very successful, but I hope this teaches Marvel a lesson. Like, you can still, like, me and Goggs were talking about this, and we've talked about this on the show, but you can make these movies pretty self-contained with, you can still add little cameos here and there, and you can still have, you know, it being connected, but like, not every comic book ties into the next comic book. You know what I mean? Like, you can still tell a good story and not worry about the goddamn continuity every 5 minutes, because honestly, like right now, and I think we'd all agree with this, is that like we've all watched all the Marvel movies, but like it's become like a convoluted mess. Like if you don't watch this TV show, like you're going to be lost. And if you haven't watched 27 movies, like you're not going to know what's going on.
At any point does Ben go, well, I'm glad my people finally got their own homeland. I don't care if it's in the desert.
No, thank God. None of that. Also, the guy that directed this, I guess, was the creator of WandaVision. I was like, oh, okay. Like,
the guy directed almost exclusively TV before this.
Well, he was wild. The showrunner. He was the showrunner for WandaVision, which makes a lot of sense, because the best part of WandaVision was like the weird, like retro vibe stuff they did in the beginning. Yeah. So
I love that they gave the Thing a beard. I like bearded Thing.
That was funny.
You just like bearded Things.
Literally.
Herbie switching his tape from home to space cracked me the fuck up.
Herbie might have stole the movie. Like, every time Herbie was on screen, I was like, hell yeah. And then there's a point where like Galactus is attacking the Franklin building, and I'm like, oh no, or the Baxter building.
Baxter.
And I was like, oh my god, he better not destroy Herbie. I'm gonna riot. Like, you don't hurt that little robot. Like, that robot was so great.
No, just a
The Silver Surfer is excellent.
Awesome.
Like, she looked so good. She's so perfect. Like, even though I heard her intro lines a billion times on TikTok before it, I was still like on the edge of my seat when she actually said all the Herald stuff when she first showed up. I was still like so fucking pumped.
Yeah, it was great.
My only other little, and I don't know, it's not really a problem. I liked that Johnny and Ben had like a brotherly relationship, but I wish I would have seen a little bit more of like the like antagonizing they do.
Yeah.
In the comics, because like in the comics, like, you know, they love each other and they care about each other and they're brothers, but they also like give each other shit constantly.
There was a little bit of that, but yeah, there could have been more.
I guess maybe they're trying to go away from the first ones where like Chris Evans and Michael Chiklis, like all they did was like rag on each other the whole time. So yeah, I feel they're like trying to do the opposite.
Alex way more like invested in the Fantastic Four. Like, I've only read like the Hickman run and a couple other things, but it's my understanding that Johnny in the comics is mean to the point of Ben where he's like almost cruel. Like, oh, you thought that bitch loved you. You stupid.
Like it used to be. Yeah. Like when, like the like 80s and 90s. Yeah. Some of that shit was rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great.
Also, and like everybody got their moment. Really, the one who didn't get the best powered moment was Mr. Fantastic, but like you got to see Johnny rocking the shit with his fire. Sue, like,
yeah, the Sue parts were great, especially at the end.
Tremendous.
And I loved, I mean, it's cliche, but it works. Like, I loved at the end, they only won because they all worked together as a team. Like, that is like, that's like fundamental Fantastic Four, you know what I mean? Like, I loved it.
I can't say really enough good things about it. Like, I still need to go see Superman, but so far this might be like my favorite movie of the year. Like, it's fun.
You gotta see Superman.
Dude. You would love Superman. You're like Mr. Hope Core. Like, it's your vibe for sure.
Yeah, this movie's, I think Superman's better than this, but this is really good.
Yeah,
like, is part of the reason, and not that it's not actually as good. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak to it, but is it because DC had so much shit for so long?
No.
That it was just, it was nice to see. In Marvel, you're just kind of fatigued.
No, I think both of them kind of checked a lot of the same boxes. It was just like, this movie is really, really good. Like, this Fantastic, it's like my second favorite movie of the year. It's in the top three.
Yeah.
It is super good. I want to go see it again, but there was just something about, I don't know, maybe it's a product of the time we're in and the juxtaposition of the social situation.
I think that's what I was going to say. I think I haven't seen Fantastic Four, but, you know, for me, for Superman, it has a lot on its mind politically, like not only just like with present day politics, but just kind of like where we are as a species at this point. Right. I don't know if Fantastic Four like is a message movie in the same kind of way. And
it's not.
And at one point,
which is fine.
At one point, they have to get the whole world to help do something.
Yeah.
And it's like, people wouldn't even wear masks for COVID. You think you got the entire planet to come together?
Well, everybody's
going to say Galactus is a hoax.
Yeah.
Though there was like, there was kind of a throwaway line where there was like this cult that was they were like worshiping Galactus, and the movie ends like the credits during the song during the credits is this like folk song about being devoured, which I thought was really cool. But like, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, I in another movie, I kind of want more about that Galactus cult. Like, they went out of their way to fucking write this entire song. There's a lot of the movie that got cut out because like, what's his name?
Malkovich.
John Malkovich is in the trailer. He's not in the movie. So like, there's probably like another half an hour of that movie that'll probably come out later, but they cut a lot out. But it didn't seem, also knowing that they cut a lot out, it didn't feel like a movie that had a bunch cut out of it. It felt very streamlined. Actually, that movie moves just like Superman. That movie moves at a clip, almost like, to Alex's point, at times I felt like it moved a little too fast.
Even though my point was, and me and Sean were talking about,
it was actually
things.
My point about a different
movie. It was Sean's
movie
point about Event Horizon that I thought was about Fantastic Four.
Oh, no, I meant I meant what you said about Johnny and Ben, like how you can use more of their like banter and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. When Alec, once you see Superman, I'll be very interested. Like, yeah. Because, and even walking into it, like I have a much greater affinity for the Fantastic Four product than the Superman thing. Cause Superman's, it's kind of hard to get behind like
an alien.
An invulnerable, like, soup. Like, there's no, but they did a wonderful job. That movie is so just good. And it's got a dog in it. It's got everything you want.
I almost cried.
There is no poor choices. There's no poor choices made in either of these movies, in my opinion. But like Superman just nails every, and like James Gunn's like whole sensibility, the way he approaches movies just makes them fun. And like with heart. Like I loved everything about Superman. It's still my favorite movie this year.
Yeah. Anything else, Alan?
No. TJ.
I watched two things other than Fantastic Four. One is Tabled. The one thing I watched outside of that, I'll make very brief. I watched David Lynch's Lost Highway, which is an incredible film.
Hell yeah.
It's hard to like rank Lynch movies because like I think they're all so fucking good, but like Lost Highway has like, I don't know, kind of everything you like about David Lynch movies. Like it looks great. It's got this atmosphere that just feels so foreboding the entire time.
It feels like the most menacing of his movies to me.
What's his name? Robert Blake, who actually murdered somebody, is like one of the most terrifying characters that David Lynch ever wrote. Like, there's a scene in this movie where like Robert Blake meets Bill Pullman at a party, and I think that scene is maybe my favorite scene out of any Lynch work, where like if you don't know, Robert Blake already looks fucking crazy, but he looks even crazier because he's got like this like pancake white face.
He looks like a Harkonnen. Like he looks like something brought with him from Dune,
and he has this crazy like very aggressive haircut, and he goes to Bill Pullman and he's like, hey, we've met before, and the way he talks is like very Lynchian, but he's like, oh, we've met before, and Bill Pullman's like, I don't think so. He's like, oh, no, I met you at your house. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, call me right now. He's like, call your number. And he takes his phone and he calls his house. And then he's just like, hello. And he's like, how'd you do that? And he's like, hand me the phone. And it's like, it's so fucking just terrifying. And like the intro premise to that movie, and it goes like all Lynch stuff, it goes like super crazy. The idea that what happens is Bill Pullman and his hot ass wife, Patricia Arquette, are these like well-to-do, like, Bill Pullman is like this saxophone player or something, but they keep getting these videotapes delivered to their house, and they put the videotapes in, and it's just their, it's like images of their house. And then as the movie goes on, they get like, they go, the video camera goes into their house and it's watching them sleep. And that's just like scary as shit. Like that's just like a terrifying concept. And the movie's amazing. The soundtrack's amazing. It's a fucking masterpiece, and there'll never be another one like David Lynch. I mean, I don't know. I'm a huge David Lynch fan, and every time I see a video of him talking now that he's passed, it like legitimately like makes me upset.
Yeah, I think I texted you the other day because I was thinking about him and something came up, and I was like, the world feels like a less magical place without people like him in it.
Yeah, and I mean, like the thing is that always is funny about David Lynch is that like his movies, you know, his movies are weird and oftentimes like really dark and scary, but like he seemed like the sweetest person in the world. Like
it's like the Junji Ito thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like he seemed like so nice and kind, and like no one ever had anything bad to say about him. And I don't know, but Lost Highway is amazing. Soundtrack also one of the greatest soundtracks ever, like fantastic soundtrack. The other thing I watched with Gogs, it's Tabled, but I'll just say now we watched Thunderbolts. Which I also really enjoyed.
Talk about it now.
Like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I get Sean's point that like the ending is kind of jarring, but like overall, I thought it was pretty good. I think the movie reminded me of something that Grant Morrison said about comic books, where the problem with comic books is that no matter how far away from the formula you get, you still end up having to like have people like punch and kick their way out of problems. And that's kind of the problem with this movie, where like, it goes in a lot of interesting places, but in the end, like you have this force that you shouldn't be able to like punch and kick, but that's how they kind of wrote it. And I feel like they kind of wrote themselves into a corner with the movie. But overall, I mean, I don't think it's on the level of like Fantastic Four, like I just talked about, but overall, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was funny.
Did you get to what I was saying where it felt like somebody really wanted to make Possum or some shit? And
oh, the century stuff is insane. And like, I kind of want just a Century movie that's all about that shit and none of the Thunderbolts in it, but like, you know, I'll take what I can get. I appreciate the fact that they went the Bendis route of the character where he's like a weird, like junkie. And like, he's dealing with a lot of like personal issues. I know a lot of comic book fans kind of hated that retcon of the character, but I think it's kind of interesting. I think it's also the only way you could ever do it in a movie. You couldn't really do the original Paul Jenkins take on the character.
The whole backstory of the Kreis of the Century is kind of fascinating, like much more so than the actual character itself.
Mm-hmm. But I like the movie. I mean, I don't know. I maybe I was going into it with low expectations because, you know, I'd heard some negative things about it. But I came away really enjoying it. Like, I thought it was a really solid movie. It was much more so than like most of the Marvel stuff. Like, I thought it was good. I do think the ending is a little forced. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know, they introduced the Void, and I think the Void's like super interesting and cool, and then it's just like, oh, it's over, and now we have a press conference, and I'm like,
that ending's kind of... It was much cooler when you thought he was actually vaping all those people.
Yeah, that's a little bit of like, they nerfed it a little, like, because that sequence when the Void takes over is terrifying, and the fact that like the whole city is just being like blipped out of fucking existence, that's horrifying. But overall, I liked it. I love Florence Pugh, and I thought that what's his name? Kurt Russell's son. I really like
Wyatt.
Him. I think he's going to be a pretty solid actor. I don't know. There's something about it, and yeah, I agree that this still has the Marvel problem where it's like very quippy, but I don't know. In this movie, I felt like it worked a little better than most.
Yeah, they had really good chemistry. Like, all of them had really good chemistry.
I mean, again, like, it does suffer from the Marvel writing that everybody hates, but in this one, it felt a little bit more organic, but maybe it's just because I like the actors more. I don't know. Overall, I didn't hate my time with it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So,
and it's also a bunch of really good actors, too. It's not like a couple of really good actors, then a bunch of like villain or like extras almost.
And also, like, not that this is like doing like the lowest like watermark to hit, but like, it actually, the movie had like a through line and a theme that it like executed on, which again it's like, you know, that's a very low bar to clear. But like, I mean, it was about people that were awful people that are trying to like work past their regret and like what they're, you know, trying to be better. And I think that actually like worked throughout the whole movie. Like, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I thought it was pretty solid. Goggs, what'd you think? I'll just pass the mic to you now.
It's an interesting idea to, from a theme, to be punching and kicking your way through generational trauma, but they did it. It's, I don't know. I can listen to David Harbour's Russian accent all day. Like, he can just be reading a book on tape and I'll be happy with it. I thought it was fun. Like, it's not touching Superman or Fantastic Four, but it's perfectly cromulent. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought Bill Pullman's kid did fine. Like, I don't know anything about the Century.
I didn't even realize that was Bill Pullman's kid.
Yep.
I could have used more of the Century in the movie. I thought that they kind of, again, it's a movie that kind of moves a little too fast, because I thought it was interesting when he becomes the Century and he's like, well, I'm a god, why would I ever listen to you? Like, I thought that shit was like really cool. And I guess like we've kind of already seen that play out in like The Boys, but like I kind of wanted more of him as Century. I was actually hoping when he's fighting the Void, he would like turn into the Century, but like, I get what they were going for.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was, Florence Pugh's great. Like, the woman that plays Ghost, I enjoyed her. I enjoyed, you know, Wyatt Russell and David Harbour, and Bucky's great. Like, I agree. There's good chemistry. They've got a good banter. kind of capturing like Suicide Squad vibes, but like a little more grounded and serious. I thought Julie Louis-Dreyfus was great in it. She was really fun. I felt she was just taking her Veep out for a walk, but like I wasn't mad at it.
And I like the fact the movie did a little bit more to characterize why she is the way she is. Again, not much, but like it's something. It's more than like a lot of other movies that we've watched. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I guess at this point, like some of those people in New York that got voided probably also got blipped. So they got to be getting really tired of this. This is like,
Jesus Christ, I need to move.
Like, I just keep like I'm in reality. I'm out of reality. Like, what the hell's going on?
Shouldn't have elected Mondami.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You get a communist socialist, you get blipped. But no, I would watch a second Thunderbolts movie if it came out, and I don't know who they would pit him again. Are they going to be part? I guess they'll be part of Doomsday.
I assume.
Well, they are. Did you watch the Stinger?
No, we did not.
There you go.
I didn't think about
Stinger. The Stinger for Thunderbolts. They are the new Avengers, and it says that they call themselves the new Avengers, and they're in like Stark Tower with all the tech and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a spaceship comes into view from outer space, and it's the Fantastic Four spaceship.
Oh, okay.
They're all like right. It's like a new spaceship signature just popped into our space, and they zoom in on it. It's the Fantastic Four ship.
Okay. Well, right. Then here we have it. Well, I got to go. I mean, let's see how this. I wish they'd stick with the Thunderbolts name, but I guess the New Avengers is fine.
I mean, yeah, New Avengers is from the comics too, so they're just trying to cram everything in.
I like the origin of the name Thunderbolts, though. I love that they kept
referencing. It was funny.
Lenny's Extra Batteries, Junior Misfit Thunderbolts. A girl pooped. Like, it was fucking cracked me the fuck up.
Yeah.
I also watched this movie. I watched most of Jaws 2, but I need to finish it. That movie's insane. Like, I can't understand how they got from the first movie to that movie, but I guess money. But like, to turn Jaws into like a weird, like a sexy teen slasher movie where the shark is just hunting down horny boat laden teenagers is a wild choice.
I've never lived in a beach community, but like once there's one shark attack, like I ain't going in that water. I ain't going in a boat. I ain't going in a shit.
Mayor Vaughn is still there. And then like Brody's like, I'm pretty sure it's a shark. And they're like, I don't know, Brody, fucking calm down. It's like, sir, like, I mean, you don't remember the 4th of July 3 years ago. You know,
well, I don't know, Barracuda. Brody. We're still suffering that 2% loss in tourism. I don't think it's a shark.
I can't believe. No, what they should have done is they should have made the town derelict after that. Like it was like just an abandoned hobo town, and some developer moved in to try and reignite Amity because no one would go back.
They should have done that. And then
Shark
had them,
Central
had them like embrace the shark attack fact and make it like a
challenge.
Well, I guess they did make it amusement park kind of in the third one. Yeah, something like that.
Bro, or you if, just have it if so everybody that, like, moved away from a place where somebody died violently, like America would be derelict. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know, but we're talking about it's a fantasy movie, and you can just have it go everyone abandons Amity, and then this jackass is like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should reinvent Amity, and then he goes and like gets a bunch of money and builds it back up. And then Mayor Vaughn, who never got reelected, and his shark cult bring the shark back to re-terrorize Amity. And then
resurrect the shark.
Yeah. Like him and that lady who owns the hotel and the guy who said, you don't like the water, do you, chief? Those three guys, they make a circle and then they resurrect the shark. And then they got to get Brody back out of the Bronx or wherever him and his wife went back to. And they're like, hey, we need you to put the shark back down. And then he goes on a quest to kill Mayor Vaughn and his shark cultists.
Wasn't there a video game where like you played a shark and that shark was like
there was a Jaws game.
No, wasn't there a game recently where like you played a shark? I forget what it was. It came out.
I can't remember what it was called, but I know.
Oh, there's another one like called like Chomp or something. And yeah, there would be like cultists who would feed people. They would throw themselves into the water for you. Yeah. Shout out to video games. But I also watched
video games.
I also watched this movie, Edward Furlong's Brain Scan.
I can't believe you watched this.
It's awful. Like it's like it was.
You
like,
have you ever seen Brain Scan? It's with the shark video game was called Man Eater, by the way.
How was it?
Sean, have you ever seen Brain Scan? It's with that really crazy looking like prosthetic. Like he looks like a troll man. Like it's a very terrible
movie. I've never seen it. I've seen Scanners and I've seen Seekers, but I've never seen Brain Scan.
This is something like if Strange Days met Hellraiser Deader. Like it's like it's about this sea demon who comes in the mail. And you're playing this game, but the game zaps your brains into virtual reality, and then you commit murders. But you're like,
so it's like you don't know. Existence?
Yes, if I've ever seen that, which I haven't, but I'm gonna say yes because you said it so enthusiastically. there's some problematic things in it, like Eddie Furlong spends. First of all, that kid can't act. Then he spends a good chunk of the movie like handy-camming his neighbor undressing. And the actress is 24, but she's playing someone who is canonically 16.
Oh,
and
you
see her naked, and I'm like, is this allowed? Can we? I don't think you're saying, I think you should leave. It's like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that. Like, it's problematic. And Frank Langella's in it. Langella, I don't know how you say his name. And I guess he needed a check because that poor guy. It is.
Gogs, this guy also directed Rolling Thunder and Out for Justice.
Hell yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, this movie is something. Like it is. I think it really hoped. I think judging by the way it ended and how it was played up and like how like quippy and goofy they made the demon that lives in the computer demon. I think they were hoping that he would be a Pinhead or Freddy Krueger or that this would at least launch a sequel. At least a
Wishmaster.
At least a Wishmaster. The fucking first of all.
That's pretty bad if your bare minimum is Wishmaster.
Bare minimum. At least a Leprechaun. Come on.
I will not abide any Wishmaster slights.
I am not the name of Wishmaster.
Dude, the first Wishmaster movie kicks a pile of ass. That movie.
What about the third one where he's like, tell my lawyer to go fuck himself. And then the lawyer like sticks his head up his own ass.
Yeah. Gogs,
would you be surprised to learn that the writer of the film you're talking about also wrote Seven and The Killer, the David Fincher movie? What?
Oh my God.
Wait, Wishmaster or?
No, fucking Brain Wire or whatever the fuck.
The guy who wrote Brain Scan wrote Seven?
Yes, he won a BAFTA for Seven. He also wrote 8mm, Pellicula's Day Snuff.
Okay, well, 8mm feels like on brand, but the fact that he, well, maybe, we know, and this is a nice segue, well, I think we still got to talk about movies Sean watched, but like maybe he just like had a stroke and then wrote Seven, and then he went back to like, you know, like just like Paul W.S. Anderson, like, I don't know, stuck his dick in a light socket, directed this movie, and then came back to reality.
I heard The Killer good. I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things. I
did not care for it.
What is Killer? I don't know if I'm familiar with The Killer.
That's the Netflix movie that David Fincher put out last year, or maybe 2 years ago, with Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. It is boring. It is very long. Well,
it's funny you say that, because the poster art makes it look like Le Samurai.
Well, I think I saw that Fincher said it was like a direct influence. I'm like, that movie sucks too. I don't care what anybody says. Like, that movie is boring as shit. I see so many fucking film people say that Le Samurai is like such a great movie. I'm like, why? Oh my God, that movie was awful.
I didn't think Alec was going to talk to me again after that.
A movie called Le Samurai that's all in French. It doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it was awful. Anything else, Mr.
That's everything I watched. So, Sean.
I watched one movie and part of one TV show. Alec, you're the resident TV expert. Have you ever watched Shameless, the American show?
Oh, I have.
I have not. I watched some of the British version when it first, I guess not when it first came out, but years ago, and I just couldn't get into it.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
So,
I watched it. I enjoyed it.
Good. And then
it seems good. I like all I've seen is like clips. It seems like a more serious version of It's Always Sunny. It's just squalor porn.
Yeah, it kind of is.
But okay. It's got a good part, right. I think, for the most part.
I mean, I love William H. Macy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, and the William H. Macy guy in the original version is that actor from Boardwalk Empire, and he was in Skull Island. I really like that guy. I always forget his name.
Who was he in Boardwalk Empire?
He was Nucky's brother, that guy. And he was like in Skull Island, he's the guy who like blows himself up with grenades. Like,
yeah, his name's like, he has like a, he's like, he seems like Seamus O'Reilly. He has like a name that's goofy. It's
he's in the last season of, or third season of Righteous Gemstones as the race car driver.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Okay, yeah.
Willingham. Is that it?
Yeah, Shea Willingham. Yeah.
He's a great actor. I like that guy.
Alec, you'll get a kick out of this. I'm sitting there watching Superman, the whole movie you weren't on when I talked about it. And I'm like looking at Jimmy Olsen. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I know who he is. Like, I didn't realize till like 10 seconds before the movie ended that he's fucking the Righteous Gemstones. What's his name? Is not Ezekiel. What the hell
Gideon,
is his name?
Gideon.
Yeah.
Did you get the interview with that kid where he got the call to try out for the movie? And for like 15 minutes, he thought he was going to get the role of Superman. And then they offered him Jimmy Olsen.
Now, that David Corn Sweat guy is like perfect.
Well, did you know that Nicholas Holt was also up for Superman, and they didn't give it to him? So them casting him as Lex, who's jealous of Superman, is like meta-contextual, which is kind of great.
Jack Quaid also read for that.
For Superman? For
It's not a good fit, but
no. He's too small.
I did watch a film. Like, this is the second time I've tried to watch this movie and like it, and I haven't, so I'm going to keep it on the shelf forever, even though I own it. It's 310 to Yuma, the remake. Yeah. The movie's just fucking boring. Like,
not a big fan of it. I want to like it. It's got a lot of things I should like about it, but I never really...
Is that the movie that was bought for you as a gift after they asked TJ what to get you, and he deliberately said, not that movie?
No, what movie was that? It was something funnier than that.
Oh, I can't remember now, but that shit's funny as shit.
What should I get him? Don't get him this.
Whatever let me look at the Blu-ray shelf. Let's see what's on here.
310 to Yuma is directed by James Mangold, too, who I generally like a lot.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those movies that just makes you want to watch a better movie. It's like, I'll just watch The Proposition. Not that there's that similar in any way other than them both being westerns, but it's like I don't care for this. But
it's got Ben Foster in it, though. Anytime that guy gets Ben work Foster, I'm very happy about
it. It's got a great cast. I mean, it's got a fantastic cast. Yeah, like I said, it's got a lot of elements of things that I should I get frustrated with that movie because I'm like, I should love this, and it's never really connected with me.
Yeah, but that was it. I'll go about this movie. So the Event Horizon, before I forget, I just wanted to say this thing. It felt like I could almost see the meeting for this movie where they're like, what's the movie? And they go, well, it's a spaceship that goes to hell. And they're like, great. What else? And everybody just sat there because they're like, we don't have anything else. It's a movie about a spaceship that goes to hell. And that is it. Like, that's all the movie is.
It's Aliens meets Hellraiser is what it is.
Bro, it's like, I guarantee Hellraiser,
it's Doom.
I guarantee you they got a note every single day that said, make it more like Alien. People like Alien, even though this movie is not an Alien movie, nor it kind of has like Sunshine Problem a little bit, but go ahead, Gox.
All right. So before we get into it, I unapologetically love this movie. I watch this movie probably as often as I watch Starship Troopers. Like, I watch it. It's at least once a year, maybe every other year. Like, I sneak in a viewing of Event Horizon. So me talking about this movie is going to be done with rose-colored glasses, so feel free to jump in and dunk on it as everyone sees necessary. But that being said, Event Horizon, the movie opens, and you learn that in 2015 we did some shit, and then in 2030 we did some other shit, and then like in 2040 we did made some more event, shit. The Event Horizon went out to Neptune to go do some shit, and it didn't go well. And that was the greatest. That was the Space Sea Titanic. That was the greatest space mishap of all time. It is. It was the biggest botch, the biggest oopsie daisy that NASA's ever had, and so
a real botch job.
Yeah. So that is the sort of baggage that the name Event Horizon bears with it. So then, you're introduced to Dr. Alan Grant, who invented black holes, and he's chilling out on a space station.
Well, he didn't invent black hole. He invented a machine that
could invented the portable black hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like his explanation of how it works has been ripped off by at least 30 other movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's hanging out, and this lady, this naked broad with no eyes, shows up and talks shit at him. He's like, Sonia. So now it's time to meet the gang, and we are Lawrence Fishburne is doing his Sergeant Apone. Everyone is getting their gear ready to go on the Lewis and Clark, which is a rescue vessel operated by the UASC or something like that. It was something very similar to whatever the military political body is that runs everything in Doom. And they're like, listen, just shut the fuck up and get in your tube. And he's like, oh, but I really liked it. Like, shut the fuck up and get in the tube. We're treated to a lot of friendly banter. You get to know.
Is this some kind of tube?
Everybody's, you know, what's its and what have yous. They go zippity doop 30 G's later. Jason Isaacs is there. They pop out and they're like, all right, we're here now. What's the deal? What's the story, Morning Glory? And he's like, all right, so check it out. We're here to go check out a fucking distress beacon. That distress beacon's for the Event Horizon. Everybody's like, fuck you. And he said, no, seriously, for real. It was a cover up. It was Epstein level. Remember that back? They make the reference to our timeline.
I remember that wild. 5 years ago.
Yeah. They go, he's like, no. Nah. So 7 years ago, we said that the reactors went, Kooky Dukes and blew the place to smithereens. That was a lie. What really happened was we were trying to do this science experiment for faster than light travel. We fired her up and it didn't work. But here you have it. Let me get this sexy poster and fold it in half to explain how we created a baby black hole to create a fold in space-time to make two points in space simultaneously in the same location, and then you just slide on through and you done skis. And they're like, okay, no, fuck. Anyway, so everyone's smoking cigarettes and hanging out and flying towards this ship, and they get near it and they're like, oh shit, that's the Event Horizon, we did it. I'm like, hell yeah. So they do a little, they also got like one recording from like the ship's distress beacon. And they're like listening to this recording, and this man invented black holes. Like, I want to reiterate this. He's listening to it, goes, I don't even know if that's English. And then Jason Isaac's like, that's Latin. And like, it kind of makes you wonder.
I feel like Sam Neill knows more than what he's saying the entire time. Like, he's being very guarded about like what they're going into. Like, I think I don't know, maybe I'm doing more work for this movie, but like, Sam Neill is compromised from the very beginning. Like,
I think Sam Neill is drawn to it. I don't think he is compromised at this point.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's his scientific hubris that leads him there. And then the demon ship keeps him there.
I think this movie, and I could be wrong, has gigantic pieces cut out of it, and I'll probably talk about the editing of this movie a little, but it feels like there are chunks, like gigantic chunks of this movie, just totally so, you were referring to about the bad gift was Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, that's right. Bone Tomahawk.
That movie has the worst version of someone getting cut in half with a bone tomahawk that I've ever seen in my entire life.
I believe you referred to that as being grundled or grendled.
Yeah, it was you're there the whole time. Anyway, so they go aboard the Event Horizon, and like the lady who is not Ellie Sattler, she's like, man, like the life scan readings are off the chain. And they're like, okay, that's whack. Let's fire up the gravity and then maybe the heat. And so a couple of them go on there, and the kid from, he's not from Remember the Titans, I don't think. Is he from Remember the Titans? He's not from Remember the Titans, is he?
I don't think so.
Well, this kid who looks like,
I don't know, he kind of looks like a cross between Mouse from The Matrix and Lowell from Wings, whatever that guy's name is. Not C. Thomas Howell. What the fuck is his name?
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yes.
So this kid, he's walking around, and so they're checking out the place, and there's like frozen corpses and exploded bodies and what have yous. And then he walks his ass back to like the black hole making reactor machine, and it opens up, and then he does like the thing that you're supposed to do when you're trained to be a rescue operator in an unknown situation. He sticks his hand in it, and then that yanks him through to who knows where. And then this dude, Cooper, who I've never seen in another movie ever again, like hunts him down and yanks him out. And now this dude's like catatonic. So they take him to medical. The ship looks great. Everything's fucking chunky and clunky and tremendous.
It looks very like Alien. Like they did it. Yeah. Like it's got that like dirty, like utilitarian sci-fi kind of look. I have my problems with this movie, but I thought the production design was great. I thought it looked great. Like I thought that the movie had a very, like, it's derivative of Alien, obviously, but like I felt like it looked cool.
The influences are worn all over its sleeves. So they find the ship's log. There's blood and guts everywhere. No one can explain anything. Sam Neill's trying to be like, I don't know, maybe you're just hallucinating. Everyone starts seeing shit. Like the other medical officer starts seeing her son who can't use his legs. Like she sees him in the medical bay. Lawrence Fishburne has a memory of some dude he watched catch on fire in Zero Gravity. Like everyone's having the fucking bad dreams on this bitch. And they're like, well, we got to get out of here, but we can't get out of here because when the kid went into the goop, that released a puddle of gravitons and it screwed up the rescue ship. So now they're kind of trapped here for at least the next 20 hours till they get stuff figured out. And they do. But whilst that is happening, people slowly start kind of going crazy, kind of being taunted by the demon ship. Sam Neill is slowly losing his mind and seeing his dead, what you find out is wife who killed herself because he was never around. And there's a scene where he's made to relive that I love. It's terrible, but I love it. The kid that's catatonic at some point snaps out of it. And then I was telling this to TJ and watch it. This scene like sticks to your ribs or sticks to mine. Like this kid is so freaked out from whatever he saw in the goop dimension that he's like, I'd rather die by decompression. He puts himself in an airlock and then he hits the button to let loose. And then he snaps out of it, and like the horror in his eyes when he's realizing what's happening is gross.
Yeah, I mean the movie. I mean, again, this movie. I said it last week, but this movie is very Lovecraftian, and the concept of like you witness horrors that are so far beyond like your mortal comprehension that you just would rather die. And they something they go on later on when they're like that people keep pulling their eyes out. And Sam Neill has that cool line, like where we're going, we won't need eyes. Like that's very, it's very Lovecraft. Like
it's very Cenobite. He's like, you know, I have such wonders to show to you.
What's that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's also very back to
the eyes. We won't need eyes. He just jams some garbage into Lawrence Fishburne and takes him for a ride. Anyway, so people are continually going crazy. People are killing themselves or getting killed by people. Sam Neill like gets his eyeballs ripped out by the ghost of his dead wife, and he rips his own eyeballs out, and then he goes on like, so the one medical officer chases her son, falls to her death. Samuel rips his eyes out. He blood eagles Jason Isaacs. He sneaks a bomb on the rescue boat. It blows up. It kills Smitty, the pilot, and it sends Cooper just rocketing off in space because he was doing a spacewalk during it. We get a Total Recall moment where they blow out the pressure on the hull and Weir gets sucked out. Weir's Sam Neill's character. Yes.
This is an engineering question. Are Lawrence Fishburne's fingers stronger than the bolts that are holding the chair down?
So that's a great question. I was thinking about this on this time around because, so first of all, Sam Neill's character now has like super strength because he's a demon. Yeah. You find out it went to hell. They watch a video. So this happened before everybody starts dying. They watch a video of like the final ship's log that got like finally decoded. And it looks like a 9-inch nails video on acid. Yeah. It is horrifying. And it's like, well, I don't want to go there. Like, if it's that or Cleveland, I guess Cleveland, but like so the pressure gets blown out, right? So that all the atmosphere is leaving the boat. And so the captain's chair's bolts get loose and pull off. But yeah, Lawrence Fishburne's grip is stronger than that. And then somehow Sam Neill is holding on to the flooring, and the flooring, like his grip so strong that he is pulling up the flooring with him.
The metal flooring that is definitely not rubber.
But then Lawrence Fishburne's able to like yank his way across a bulkhead with like a rope. Listen, I'm not going to say that it makes sense, but I am going to say I love it. So now Weir is outside of he's been sucked into the sweet void of space. The Lawrence Fishburne, but not before activating the black hole machine in the back. And he's like, well, I don't want to go to hell. So like, let's not do this no more. So they, the other dude, Cooper, makes it through the airlock. They don't doink him with a hammer. Lawrence Fishburne goes on a mission to go blow up the guts of the ship to separate one end from the other. He's confronted by the kid that he left burning and dying in space. Sam Neill is like, no, bitch, you're coming with me. And he's like, fuck you, dude. He hits him with the ladder, bitch. The ship blows up. Presumably, Lawrence Fishburne goes to hell with Sam Neill to have just his anus annihilated.
Lawrence Fishburne, it's a fate worse than death. Like he's sucked into the hell dimension, and
he's the wounded guy and the first officer and the other rescue tech. Then it becomes the beginning of Aliens, where a rescue team finds them floating through space past the outer rim.
The fucking Warhammer 40K rescue team. Like, what was with those helmets?
I loved it. And they flip it up. There's Sam Neill, but that's just a scare because Starks is having a nightmare. But then then they're really being rescued. But then there's like an ominous scene where the door closes, and that's the end of the movie. And I love it. I love everything about this movie. I can't objectively. I know it's not great, but I know that I love it.
I want to like this movie, I think, more than I do. I think the premise is really good. I don't know. I was kind of like pausing out for a minute, but I wanted to touch on the editing just in general. Like, the editing in this movie is horrendous. Like, shit happens so abruptly. And like, there are scenes where people move across the space in a way that makes no sense. And it's like, what am I looking at? So the only two things I can think is, one, this person who edited this movie never made another film again. Or two, there are gigantic chunks of this movie that are cut out for violence or pacing or something. Because this movie is incredibly fast. I mean, they talk about the hell drive and they go to hell all within. Like, I looked up. This was the first time this has happened where I looked up and there was less of the movie than I expected remaining.
The movie moves at a clip.
The inverted movie, the podcast thing.
It is
fast. But like, I do agree with TJ. I think the set decoration is really good. Like, I think the art direction is good. I think this suffers from a 4K transfer in some ways because like, there's model work in here that's excellent as far as the ship and stuff goes, but there's also CG for the ship that did not age particularly well.
This is a weird movie where I feel like if you watch this on VHS, it would be better. Like, if you watch this in a lower resolution. Percent. Yeah. Alec. I don't know.
Asking about the science.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, how did I forget? Alec, was your favorite part of this all the space science and wormholes and all that?
Yeah, I'm a big sucker for wormholes.
You love wormholes.
I do.
The space, the space repairing and all the like all
space
the
maintenance.
Space maintenance, yes.
Space maintenance. Yeah. Yeah, that was probably my favorite part.
That was your favorite part.
Had you seen this before, Alec?
No.
You've seen it before, Sean, right?
I believe I've seen this movie a dozen times. Like, it was on heavy rotation on cable and DVD when I was a younger man.
I will say, I wish, and Sean, you mentioned it like before we started, but I wish you got more of like the Hell Dimension stuff. Like, I wish I got to see more of it. Like, I feel like the movie like cuts away and does like, what happened? Oh yeah, money. He's doing the finger thing. Everybody money. Can't see it at home, but like I want to see more of that. Like I will say I think the movie does a very good job with like the tension. Like I think this movie is very tense, like right from the jump. But there's a few choices that kind of break that tension that I don't really care for. The one. The guy that did the space maintenance, the one crew member who ends up surviving, like he's like the weird comic relief of this movie because he's got like Chris Tucker-esque lines. We're like, damn, why does this shit always happen to me? And it's like, I don't really need that. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like you got Sam Neill who's like literally ripping his eyes out, and he's like, it's funny. He kind of looks like he does in the Mouth of Madness because he's got all these like scars all over his face. And then you got a guy going, God damn it, I'm in space. Like, I can
just imagine that Paul Anderson was like, well, we've already got Lawrence doing serious black guy stuff, so you do other black guy stuff. And it's like, what does that mean?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
I think that I'm gonna counter your point. I like how much the hell stuff is teased at because I think they give you just enough of it that it's horrific, and then your mind is just sort of left to fill in the blanks. I mean,
there is that.
Because, you can, see too much of it, and then it gets, cheesy.
I think the overall problem, and I think it encompasses TJ's problem, but also, I guess, benefits the movie pace-wise, is, nothing is really established. Like, you don't really know a whole lot. Like, you kind of get through, brief flashbacks who these people are, and the one relationship, because one's, baby bear and one's mama bear, but, you're not, I don't know. I feel like the characters aren't really delineated enough for you to give a shit. So you need something else in there that's a little bit that's going to ground you to the story a little bit more. That's just kind of my two cents.
But I thought the cast overall I thought was really good. I really like Jason Isaacs. I thought that Lawrence Fishburne does a good job. Sam Neill's great in the movie. I'll get into it in Five Knuckle Shuffles, but there's some weird choices that kind of take me out of the end of the movie. But I don't know. We don't just do Five Knuckle Shuffles now. We've talked about this movie enough.
Yeah.
Well, here's a few fun facts about this film.
Oh, please. Thank you.
So he directed Mortal Kombat, and then he turned down Mortal Kombat 2 and X-Men because he wanted to make an R-rated horror movie. And then eventually he got the script for this.
God, what is the Paul W.S. Anderson X-Men movie look like? Oh my God. I bet you it's
better than the Bryan Singer X-Men movie.
Oh, 1,000%.
God, it hurts my heart to think about how shitty that movie is compared to how fucking pumped I was leaving the theater after seeing that the first time.
Oh, I love
being oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's your first sip of water out of the desert. Like, what are you going to do?
Possibly hot take. X-Men 2 is also kind of shitty. Like, yes, all of the movies up until First Class are kind of shitty.
X-Men, but I like X-Men 2 3. Is raised. It's raised by its probably maybe the best opening sequence in any comic book movie.
Yeah.
With that Nightcrawler scene and then seeing Wolverine go ham against Stryker's guys and actually seeing them go cut loose and gut people. But yeah, that movie's two really good scenes with a bunch of other schlock all around it.
Brian Cox is good in the movie too as Stryker.
Apparently, Sean, you're right. A bunch of this movie got cut out.
Okay, that makes sense.
And now they can't even like find the footage anymore.
That's a shame.
Oh, they eraser-headed it.
Yeah.
So it says that in test screenings, I'm going to read a paragraph from Wikipedia.
Please.
In test screenings, the cut was poorly received. There are complaints about the extreme gore, and Anderson and producer Jeremy Bolt claimed that some members of the test audience fainted. Paramount executives, who had stopped watching the dailies before any of the gore was shot and were seeing the complete film for the first time with the audience, were shocked by how gruesome it was and demanded a shorter runtime with less gore.
Yeah, but see, that sounds better, though. That's what I want.
That explains a lot, because that means they cut it out from a finished, like, a final cut, and they hacked it
up. They were just going through, just like, pull this scene.
Well, it's just
all over the place now.
There's a scene where Dr. Grant, like, goes to vivisect Jason Isaacs, and, you don't see anything, and then it, like, violently cuts to him, like, fucking wet marketed up in the ceiling, and it's so jarring. Like, it's like, I feel like I missed something here.
Yeah, exactly. Five knuckle shuffle time? Alec?
Six.
Fair.
Like, for a movie that, until I watched it, I didn't even know there was a difference between this and The Abyss. I thought they were the same movie.
Wild.
It's not going to leave any impression on me whatsoever. Like, it has some cool scenes and some cool, I think, design choices, but overall, like, this just doesn't do it for me. I want my sci-fi to be science-y and fiction-y, not horror-y.
Fair.
Although, I'm always up for Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill getting more work. I love those guys.
Yeah, shout out to Sam Neill. He's fucking great.
Yeah, he's so good in, like, everything.
Yeah, I think, I was telling Goggs, I think he's like, not well. I think he has some sort of cancer or something. I've read. Yeah, it's a shame.
He is almost 80.
Yeah, but he fucking rules.
He's like not great in President Devil.
No, he wasn't that. But, you know, he's a guy that's, like, in just a bunch of genre movies. Like, he's kind of a genre movie legend, if you really think about his career, you know? Even in President Devil, you know what I mean? Like,
he has stage 3 lymphoma, which he will require chemo for the rest of his life.
Well, pull through, Sam Neill. You're the best. Okay. Pass the torch.
TJ.
The torch?
I don't know.
Is somebody replacing him?
Yeah. Like,
Are we getting a legacy cast?
I was talking about the five knuckle shuffle torch, but that doesn't make any sense either. It's a 8 for me, dog. I really like this movie. I really enjoyed this. I will say, though, that like there's some choices that like really keep me from like a 9 or a 10. The final fight between Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill has like really weird like punching foley that doesn't work, where it's like it sounds like an old Western movie when they're like hitting each other, and I'm like, why is that in here? Again, I really did not care for that one crew member that's just kind of like quipping the whole time in this like super dour, violent movie. But the positives, again, I thought it looked great. I love the ship design. I agree with Sean that the characters aren't the best. Like, they're not fleshed out that well, but there's something, I think all the performances are well done. Like, that one guy that, I've seen him in a ton of shit, but he's like British or whatever. He's like the first guy that dies from the explosion that Sam Neill leaves in the ship. Like, that guy's great. Lawrence Fishburne, I thought, was like, Lawrence Fishburne in this movie, I felt like between him and Sam Neill, like they're playing this so serious. And I feel like they almost give this movie more Like, they're doing more work for this movie than the script is. And, like, I don't know, like, that little monologue that Lawrence Fishburne had about when he sees the guy that burned to death, and he's like, did you ever see fire in zero gravity? Like, it just kind of floats around. It's like, wait, like, that monologue was really good. Like, I don't know, like, there's a lot to like about this movie. I like the Lovecraftian elements of it, like how they've gone past like what humans can comprehend. Like, I like all that stuff. I do agree with Sean that I wish they went harder with it. Like, I wish they went, it went more deep into that stuff. But as it stands, I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie, and I felt like it has like an air of tension right from the beginning. Like, I thought that, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot. So yeah, it's an 8 for me, dog. Sean.
I'm with Boesky. It's a 6. I like the idea of this movie a lot better than the execution of this movie. I bet the shit they cut out, if it was back in there, while it might be a little bit slower, I bet it's a way better, finished piece. Again, the editing is just so bad, and you know, a part of it I'm sure is not their fault, but part of it also suffers from that, like, Dimension Films, like, hyper editing, like in
it's very new metal,
and like, you can do the same shit without having those crazy ass edits. Like, I mean, look at Jacob's Ladder. Like, just hold on the stuff for a second and then go.
But again, that might have been a studio note. Maybe and they were like, yeah, well, no, we can't show all that shit.
And, like, I don't want to blame the movie for getting fucking, like, you know, butt-fucked in post, but, you know, we got what we got. But it's, like, perfectly cromulent. Like, I don't dislike it. It's just, it you know, like, you know, there's more here, and it's disappointing that it's not in it. And the cast is really good. Like, everybody loves Fishburne. Everybody loves Sam Neill. Vanessa Redgrave's daughter, what's-her-face from Nip Tuck. I mean, I like her as an actress. I don't think she does a whole lot. But Jason Isaacs is really good. They should have got they should just went full Alien and got what's the fucking king from Game of Thrones? It's the doctor in Alien 3, Goggs. What's that guy's name?
What is that?
Dance, Charles name? Dance.
Charles Dance. Yeah. Alien 3 is really good, by the way. But no, it's really 6. Like, it is memorable. Like I said, I've seen this so many times, and it's not incompetent. It's just, again, there's some choices I don't love. And the way it's cut together is tough for me. But if they could dig this up, or I don't want to say remake it because it would probably be bad. But like, this is a movie that I think is a good candidate for a remake, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Goggs.
I love this movie. So, like, my vote probably shouldn't count, but I'm leaving it a 9.
Of course it counts.
Like, I don't disagree with any of the criticisms, but I have like such a soft spot. It's got all the things I like. Like, it's got chunky spaceships. It's got crew banter. It's got Dead Space and Doom and like Warhammer 40K and like aliens like sewn all through it. I think it is, of the work of Paul W.S. Anderson, it's the best thing he's ever done. I love Sam Neill in it. I love Lawrence Fishburne in it. I think it's genuinely like scary. And there's scenes in it. Like I said, there's scenes in it that stick to me. Like they have made an impact. So like, it's up there with one of those like heavy rotation. Like, I have the Scream Factory special edition with the poster. Like, I fucking love this movie. I almost want to give it a 10, but I can't do that in good conscience. But I think it's a ton of fun. It moves at a clip. Like, it hauls ass. Like, it's going from point A to point B. From a guy who is very much like a heavy-handed, like ham-handed, like monster hunter director, yeah, like literally. to have some of this sort of like, even for a movie that moves quickly, it's got enough little like slow burn tension and a lot like a lot more show don't tell than you would expect from a guy from a Paul W.S. Anderson. I don't know. I love it. So it's a nod for me.
Nice. All right. I think, Sean, it's your pick, right?
Yes.
You got something for us?
Kind of. Like, I was thinking about the Assault on Precinct 13 remake, which I remember not liking, even though I loved the original.
Who's the thread?
Lawrence Fishburne.
He's who got us here.
We already did Lawrence
Fishburne. Oh, so we're doing Sam Neill?
Well, or anybody else.
Anybody else in the movie.
Jason Isaacs. Like,
oh, shit, Jason Isaacs. Guys, vamp for a minute.
Vamp.
This is the worst goddamn vamping I've ever seen. Vamp.
Is anybody in the movie Vamp? Because we could watch that movie. I mean, people are in
it. I'm pretty sure Jason Isaacs is in Vamp.
Why don't we watch The Patriot?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Okay.
I used to love that movie.
We could watch any Harry Potter movie. We could watch.
Who else is in Event Horizon? I mean,
Jolie Richardson.
Let's see. I'm just fucking around.
I like the when you Google Event Horizon, the people are asking things. Says, is Event Horizon a good movie? Like, what is that?
Based on a true story.
I forget. Have we watched? I'm just gonna throw this out here. Jason Isaacs was in Fury.
I've never seen that. I've heard like half of it's really good, and then half of it not so much.
Yeah, half of it is really good. The guy that you couldn't think of, Gogs, his name, Jack Noseworthy.
Oh,
what a name!
Been in?
He was in the movie Idle Hands. He was in Breakdown, a Kurt Russell movie. Uh-huh. He's apparently in a Bon Jovi music video, and that's about it.
I know he's been in a dude for quite a long time.
Nice.
We could watch Black Hawk Down.
We could watch Black Hawk Down.
That would be a nice reset to get a whole bunch of people for next week.
Yeah, there's a million.
You know what? Bananas. I'm gonna burn this off.
Why don't you piss everybody off and pick Possession, Sam Neill? That'll be a fun fucking episode. Jesus.
All right, you guys pick
Jurassic Park watch, 3.
We can either watch The Matrix, the first one.
Oh wow. Who's in that? Who's in that?
Oh, we can't do Lawrence. God damn it, I'm back on Lawrence Fishburne.
Get off of Lawrence Fishburne.
How about In the Mouth of Madness?
I like that movie.
We didn't do that already?
No, I just watched it recently. Julie
Richardson is in King Ralph.
Oh, well, thank God. Uh-oh.
Jason Isaacs in some weird 2003 Peter Pan movie.
Yeah, he plays Captain Hook.
We could watch Batman Under the Red Hood.
Jack Noseworthy is in the following movies, which you boys may choose from.
Okay.
Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
We did not. We watched, which one did we watch?
Salvation.
Salvation.
We watched two of them, didn't we?
We watched Genesis, too.
I didn't watch Genesis. I watched Salvation.
Barbed Wire, a Pamela Anderson film.
Oh, Barbed Wire. Oh, that might be a good one.
Cecil B. Demented, the John Waters movie.
Holy shit.
We can't watch John Waters movies on this show.
Those are your choices, so you may pick from those three.
So we got Terminator 3, Barbed Wire, or Cecil B. Demented.
I think Terminator 3.
Barbed Wire.
Oh.
DJ?
God,
that's a tough choice.
Keep adding to the Terminators. We've already watched two of them.
Yeah,
There's only six more to go.
Terminator 3.
Okay.
The movie that made me hate Terminator 2.
With what's his name? Nick Stahl. Nick Stahl and Claire Danes.
Yeah, my so-called life.
And the Terminatrix. Well, the Terminatrix. Chick from Blood Rain. Yeah. What happened?
I bet you it'll be better than any of the last like four Terminator movies.
All right, that's what we're watching next week. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Finally, now I can pick an In the Name of the King movie.
Hell yeah.
All right.